Well done. Well, good morning. Good morning. So last week, Andy got us going and knocked it out of the park as we began a conversation, a series about the kingdom of God. And I think if you were able to be here last week, the whole hope that we had last week was that we would just come to the understanding together that there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And in the kingdom of God, there is a king. Something, as Andy talked about, is sometimes really hard for us to be okay with in this beautiful democracy that we find ourselves, a king, a sole authority. But the kingdom of God has a king who is bent on doing good, determined on bringing light to the darkness. And this king, this sole authority, he's also determined to expand his territory. Jesus is not okay with just a little bit of light breaking into the world. His unshakable mission is to bring all of heaven to all of earth. And I think what we again hoped is that as we began last week, all of us would start to consider together what kingdom we are aligning ourselves with. Because there's really no third option. There's no like, hey, I'm just going to sit back and not engage in either kingdom. Either our hearts are being aligned more and more with the culture of the kingdom of this world, or our hearts are being more and more aligned with the culture of the kingdom of God. And so last week we invited you, we maybe even challenged you a little bit, to take a step to align your heart more with the kingdom of God through the love experiment. Anybody get a chance to try this out this week? We had a bunch of ideas back on the table, not that you needed them, or, you know, you could have done anything that would have brought love, because love is the language of the kingdom of God. It is the foundation of the culture of the kingdom of God. And so we said last week, go out there and do one thing intentionally to align your heart with the kingdom. I cut my neighbor's lawn, partly because my neighbor is going to be the new neighbor that I'm going to get soon is someone I love a lot. But also because, you know, I know that the current neighbor is overwhelmed with life and is not, no way that that lawn's going to get cut. So last week I gave that a shot. One way to align my heart a little bit more. And I got to be honest, as I'm steering the lawnmower over there, I'm like, this is going to take extra time, you know. Oh, this is really going to throw off my schedule. Love isn't always an easy choice, even in the small little things that we do. But we want to be people who are aligning our hearts more and more with the kingdom of God. So love was the word last week. This week, the word is receive. Receive. And to get started, I just want to ask a couple questions. Feel free to shout out some answers. I'm curious. You know these are not trick questions, okay? How do you get into a concert, a show? What do you need to get in and to be able to enter a concert? You need a ticket, right? What does the ticket require? Money. Okay, so you have to give up something. You have to come to the table with money in order to go to a game, in order to go to a concert. Unless you're like me, in college, I was with a group in New York City, Christian group. The leader of the Christian group, a pastor, took us downtown one night and had us sneak in at intermission to one of the off-Broadway shows. Just full confession, you know. Now, we didn't stay, really, because we couldn't find a seat. But, you know, so you don't always have to pay. That's all I'm saying. Most of the time you do. But, all right, that's so you need to get into a concert or show. How about a big box store? You know the kind of big box store I'm probably referring to, right? Bulk items galore. What do you need to get into there? You got to be a member. You got to be able to show that card when you walk in the door, right? And what does the membership take? Money again. You've got to pony up something to be able to enter the big box store world. I also hear that there are these things called clubs. Anybody ever hear of a club? I don't know. I've never been to one. But maybe if you're younger and cooler than me, then you have been. What do you need to sometimes get into a club? An ID can be really important. Yeah. Valid. True or not. Yeah. What else? I've seen this. Again, I've really honestly never experienced it. But sometimes you've got to have a little something else to get into the door. What? Cover charge. Yeah. So you got to pony up again. I'm thinking like, you gotta know somebody, right? You gotta be on the list. And so there's you bring relationship, you bring some sort of capital in that sense. Okay, you get the idea. In so many places in our world, in order to enter, you have to bring something with you. So how do we enter the kingdom of God? If there are two kingdoms, how do we enter the kingdom of God where there is life and fulfillment? I'm going to share three things this morning. If you grab a bulletin, there's some blanks to fill in if you're a blank filler-inner kind of person, a note taker. And the first one I want to share is this. If we are to enter the kingdom of God, our posture is to be that of a child. Turn to Luke 18, if you would. Hannah, I think this slide is up on the screen. Luke 18, 15 to 17. How do we enter the kingdom of God? One day some parents brought their children, their little children, to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him. Then Jesus, seeing this, called for the children, hold on, and said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God, like a child, will never enter it." In order to enter the kingdom of God, we have to receive it like a child. What does that mean? I think there's potential, at least when we read this verse, that we sentimentalize it. Oh, what Jesus is saying is that we have to be cute like children, innocent like children, you know? We have to bring our purest selves, our most naive kind of selves to Jesus. And in that naivete, Jesus is able to, I don't know, maybe there's a part of that going on here. But I think there's something else. And we don't catch it right away because our culture is radically different from Jesus's culture in this respect when it comes to kids. You see, in Jesus' day, kids had very little value. It's not that they weren't loved, but they were viewed very differently. Because you have to remember, for most people in Jesus' day and time, life was a matter of survival. People weren't living paycheck to paycheck. It was just hoping to live, just hoping to make it. And so kids, as much as they were, I'm sure, loved, economically, practically speaking, didn't offer anything to the household. In fact, they were a drain on the household. And so, in some standpoint, kids were seen as of less value. Now, when they came of age, that began to change. But early on, when they're little children, they didn't have a voice. Now, in our culture, it's exactly the opposite, yes? Our world, in many homes, revolves around the child in most every way, but not true in Jesus' day. And so the disciples are scolding the parents, like, we've got important things to do here. We're on a mission from God, you know, and these kids, they can't contribute, so just get them away, get them away. Now, Elliot and Sarah, I imagine that Desmond has brought you great joy. He has added untold value to your life. Yet I also would bet he has not brought home a paycheck. True? I bet he's probably not done any chores yet. No? Okay, just checking. He's probably added chores to you, to your life. He's probably added cost to your budget. And so this is the thing about kids. From that angle and that standpoint, they don't come able to contribute. And what I love about kids, young kiddos, is that that doesn't bother them. Have you ever noticed that? Like, oh, you want to bless me? Awesome. I'm ready. You know, what's that? You want to change my diaper, bathe me, and then rock me to sleep? Sure, go for it. You know, you want to cook me dinner, feed it to me, and then clean everything up yourself? Okay. Right? I mean, kids are like, yeah, bring on the blessing. They have no problem just receiving the provision, the goodness of their parent or parents. Jesus says you cannot enter the kingdom based on what you have to offer or something that you can contribute. Entering requires that we take the posture of a child and simply receive the gift that our good dad wants to give to us. And we see this truth reiterated throughout the Old Testament. If you want, you can turn to John 1. John 1, 11 to 13. This is the very beginning of the book of John, in which we're being introduced to the Word made flesh. Kind of that famous passage. And John writes about Jesus that he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, the word here could also be received him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. When we take the posture of a child and receive the King and his kingdom, we become a child of the King. This is the second point this morning that I want us to just consider together, that our identity is given, not earned. You are a child of God. You are an heir with Christ. You have an inheritance. You have a future and a hope. You are not bound to your past because you have been reborn. And all of these things which make up your identity, all of these things, they are given. They are not earned. Which on the one hand makes so much sense, I think. Like when you just kind of pause for a moment and pull back, it makes sense that our identity as children of God is something that can't be earned. My children are a part of our family, not because they've earned it. You're a part of whatever family you came from, not because you did something or contributed it enough to kind of get your way into. You just received it. It was just given to you. So my kids, you know, can you imagine if I said to my children, I love you. You are welcome to be a part of our family, but I'm going to expect a check the first of every month. And so on the one hand, it makes so much sense that our identity as children of God is not something that we can earn. But, if you couldn't sense it, there's a but. On the other hand, earning is the way of the kingdom of the world. Earning is the way of the kingdom of the world. And so you and I think, are constantly tempted to earn our identity, to earn our place. A year ago, we were in a series called Covenant and Kingdom. And to help us get at those two really big theological ideas, we had some different images that maybe helped give some kind of framework for us. And we showed this about a year ago. And I think it fits in with the conversation again today. This is what life is meant to look like in the kingdom of God. Our Father, our heavenly parent, our dad, gives us our identity. It can't be earned. Just gives it to us freely. Children of God, co-heirs with Christ, future and a hope. And when we live into that identity, when we become confident in it, then we are able to go out into this crazy world that we live in and be light to darkness and bring hope and bring love. We can obey. We can be obedient out of our identity. This is what life is supposed to look like in the kingdom of God. But on the next slide, this is what life usually looks like or often can for us. Everything gets in reverse. We start out believing that we have to do something. Give away enough of our money, show up here regularly enough, be a good enough person, whatever that might mean for you. And if we do enough, if we're obedient in that sense, that makes our identity secure. And with a secure identity based on what we have done, we can then go to God. God would be willing to listen to us and to talk to us and to be in relationship with us. And I got to tell you, friends, this is a constant battle for me. Because I'm a doer. And I love for my identity to be rooted in what I can control. It's not meant to be this way. In the kingdom of God, our identity is given. It's not earned. To enter the kingdom, we have to receive the king. Then the final point that I want to make is that our time is now. Our posture is to be like that of a child. Our identity is given, not earned, and our time is now. This next passage comes from Mark chapter 1. Very beginning of Jesus' ministry, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what Jesus said the good news was. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. We've been talking about receiving this morning, and I don't want us to leave here imagining that we have to wait until we can enter the kingdom of God. And I think this is on my heart because I know for myself, and I think for so many of us, we find ways and reasons to put this off. For some of us, we think that we have to get our life more put together. It's that triangle in reverse. When I get this part of my life in order, when I get this cleaned up, then I'll be able to go and receive whatever it is that God has to give to me. Some of you, I know because I talk with you, you are wrestling with significant doubts and questions. And you have told yourself that you've got to get those things answered first before you can open your arms to the King. And Jesus says it is exactly the opposite. For some of you, it's not really a conscious thing. It's just that life is so stinking busy that you're distracted to the point where you haven't really for a while now just thought about receiving the good gifts of our dad. But Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. There's no reason to wait. And so, some of you here today, I would imagine, are tired. Maybe for some of you, it's physically, you're just whooped. But I would imagine that there are some of you here as well who are not just physically tired, you are mentally drained. You are emotionally spent, spiritually maybe as well. You have some burden that you are carrying, and it is weighing you down. The time has come then to receive the rest that God offers. Today's that day. You don't have to wait any longer. I know some here today are anxious. And I know that just because this is the world that we live in. We live in a world where anxiety reigns. No doubt that there are some of us here today that are just all tied up about something that we want to control and can't, or something that we are fearful of, something that we're uncertain about. Jesus invites us today. He says, the time has come to receive the peace of the kingdom. The confidence that God is with you. It's time to receive. And some of us, again, we're busy and we're distant and we are preoccupied. And Jesus says to us today, receive me. Open your heart in the midst of all the clutter and all of the chaos. Pause for a moment and let me in. So I think one of the things that is so important for us to understand is that everything begins with this word, receive. We're going to talk about some other stuff in this series, about obedience and about fighting the battle that rages between these two kingdoms. A lot of stuff that's kind of more action and things in which we, ways in which we participate. And I think that's up a lot of our alleys. But it starts here. If you have not received your identity, if you have not just taken in the good gift of the King, it is nearly impossible to consider and live into any of those other things. And so what I want to do to close is just invite you into an extended kind of time of prayer. And throughout that prayer, there are going to be, I'm going to read a number of passages. Passages that contain promise, God's promises to us, or God's blessing to us. And what I want to invite you to do is just receive them this morning, to just receive the words that God may want to speak over you today. So I'll read a passage and then there will be a time of silence for you to just kind of consider those words. And then I'll read another passage and we're just going to spend a few minutes. And so to maybe help in this, because our bodies are part of who we are. I think we maybe think that anything spiritual involves only our souls, maybe our minds too, we might say, but God doesn't make that distinction. All of ourselves, all parts of us are meant to engage. And so maybe this morning, a simple way to engage your body and to help kind of open your heart up would be to sit right where you are and just put your hands on your lap with them open. Maybe there's a different posture you want to take. Maybe someone wants to get on their knees. Maybe you need to go and stand in the back and pace a little bit. I would invite you to do whatever you need to do to be able to receive these words this morning. Because we have a King who loves us and who has died for us and who longs to just give us an identity rooted in hope. So let's pray together. hear these words, brothers and sisters. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. God sent his Son to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Your unfailing love, O Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the ocean depths. You care for your people, O Lord. How precious is your unfailing love. All humanity finds shelter in the shadow of your wings. You feed them from the abundance of your own house, letting them drink from your river of delights. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
for these words of hope and encouragement, for these reminders of your love and grace. We give you thanks, God, and we receive them with open arms and open hearts. Amen.